Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Everybody hears what they want to hear, and it usually leads to, like, people getting, you know, kind of hot and bothered by the other person's take. And I kind of heard it with what Nick Wright just said that we played, where it's like, I think you're hearing stuff that no one's saying. Nobody puts Brock Purdy in tier one. Nobody puts him next to Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar. And then we get through saying that, and what fires through, Dibs, on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line? Thank you so much for listening, 415. We really appreciate it. But here's your text that I would argue is proof that you are suffering from selective hearing. The text is, y'all are so bad. You're comparing Brock to Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow took a team from worst to first, and Brock could never do that. Daryl in San Francisco. First of all, I personally believe Brock's going to do that this year. Second of all, both of them have taken a team to the Super Bowl. But third of all, ain't nobody compared Brock Purdy to Joe Burrow. What I just did was compare the situations and asked, if you're going to use these tiers, and if you're going to use last year, Brock's worst moments, to define his entire career, and the fact that the 49ers lost more games than they've won and didn't make the playoffs, why are you not doing that with somebody who was a unanimous tier one who sits in the same boat? Why does that not apply to Joe Burrow? Why did he not win all the games, even though his defense sucked just like Brock Purdy's did? Why? Why does that only apply to Brock? That's my question.
That's right.
Not comparing the two, other than to say the situation, why does it get hung around Brock's neck and not somebody who is in tier one?
It goes back to good old draftism. And your guy even made mention to that. I think Nick Wrong, yep, we like to call him around these parts. And Mr. Wrong even talked about how, you know, he tried to give him his flowers, saying, well, he's already outplayed his draft position. Who gives a crap about how you play relative to your draft position? If you're drafted in the top five and you stink, or let's just say you were drafted number 12 and you happen to go to New England and your name is Mac Jones and you're not very good, well, you don't get to stay just because you were drafted number 12 and darn it, we're going to make sure you're great. And Trey Lance here, he has not lived up to his draft potential, and so it's a miss. And I don't think you can apply the same thing to somebody who outplays their draft position, because if you get drafted at the very end of the entire thing and you're good, well, then the other team should feel bad because they missed on you.
I mean, like, there's so many examples of this. Like, we live in the Bay Area. Joe Montana was a third-round pick. Are you happy with just being like, well, he outplayed his draft status, or are you allowed to go be more? And Tom Brady, sixth-round pick, are you allowed to go be more? Or are you supposed to just settle for that? I'm better than my draft status. Let's leave it at that. Let's stop having conversations. Let's stop having debate, and let's stop being open-minded to what we're actually seeing out there. So for me, again, the bottom line on this, and then we'll go to the phones. We'd love to hear from all of you, 888-957-9570. The bottom line for me is I'm not running from the fact that Brock's year was nowhere near as good last year, and I think there are many reasons for that, and some are on his shoulders and some are not. A bad defense around him, sure, injuries, whether you want to talk about offensive line play, whatever, whatever it is. But I am not big on defining whether it's a sports career or a friend. I am not big on defining people by their worst moments. So you don't do, you boy, you do not get to use last year to erase the previous two. That's a no from me, dog.
Well, and those weren't even his lowest moments. I think his lowest moments were Christmas the year before,
yeah,
where
that's a good point.
He flat out stunk in that game. And yeah, there was a tip pass, and we had this debate with Cosell, and he was wrong, and I can't wait to talk to him again this year, because
Greg Cosell's never wrong.
He's not always right. He's never wrong, but he's not always right. So you go ahead and figure that one out. And that was the night where he flat out stunk, and he lost the MVP. And what did he do? He bounced back and made it to the Super Bowl. So, you know, you're never as good as your greatest moments. You're never as bad as your worst moments. And I think a lot about golf when I, you know, ponder that very idea, because I've had moments of absolute pure greatness in the brightest of lights, making birdie on one of the toughest par fours on the planet. And then I can give you 1,000 examples of, you know, me making a snowman or taking a nine or hitting three straight in the water or four putting and the rest of it.
What was the
number eight, Pebble Beach, over the chasm.
Oh, yeah.
You got to drive it out, not too far.
Dude, no, that
second shot, which is about 100-yard force carry over, you die.
I fed the Pacific Ocean on that hole.
Oh, yeah?
I fed it.
I made birdie.
I'm like, here, take my ball. That's just, like, intimidating. Completely intimidating. That's a good birdie.
It's an amazing birdie.
Not a bad.
If that was me, then I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be at Olympic right now playing in the USAM. But I'm not.
But I'm not.
Because you can't. You cannot judge somebody by their greatest or their worst. You're right about that.
All right, 888-957-9570. We're about to go to the phones, but again, just for those of you just joining us, again.
No more.
Well, no.
I get it.
Take a listen. This is just one of the pieces in the debate between Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright on FS1.
The Brock Purdy folks are not going to be reasoned with. And I've said this before, but I will say it again. This is essentially a six-year-long how-do-you-view-football war that started with Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo won, but objectively was not that good. And some people were like, nope, he's a winner. He's got it. And there were those of us who were like, I actually think with that coaching and that talent and that scheme, you could throw almost anyone in there and they would be successful. And those folks were like, no, you can't. And by the way, how would you ever prove that? And then they put in literally the last player picked in the draft and added Christian McCaffrey. And instead of those folks being like, oh, yeah, the talent, the scheme, and the coaching, they're like, nope, that guy's a superstar. And then those of us were like, no, he has this amazing team around him. And they said, well, how do you know he wouldn't do it if he didn't have that team around him? And then last year, he didn't have it around him. They won six games, and they're like, no, Brock Purdy's still great. Like, he's fine. He's overachieved for his draft status. I'm happy for him and his family. He got paid. But anybody that watches the NFL and thinks he is a force multiplier or he is a substantially, you know, that he is unfairly ranked and the 14, 15, 16 range. They are not open to the evidence that keeps pouring in year after year or game after game.
It's kind of funny because he has an initial point when he's talking about, like, the ex post on Jimmy Garoppolo. You can have that take. My issue there is that you're comparing the two and acting like they're the same thing. And anybody who's watched 49er football knows that Brock Purdy elevates from Jimmy Garoppolo. Brock's worst year last year probably would have been about Jimmy's best. So, and again, this whole idea that, well, you could stick anybody in there, then how come it didn't work with Trey Lance? How come it didn't work with C.J. Beathard? How come it didn't work with Nick Mullins? How come it doesn't work with just anyone if you keep saying that you can stick just anyone in there? Why can't we look back on Jimmy and go, yup, he got elevated, and then therefore it turned out long-term and with other teams, that hasn't been a great fit. That disproves nothing from his time with the Niners, but also has nothing to do with a completely new team, new roster around him, new player, where they throw the ball a lot more, put up a hell of a lot more stats through the air. All of those things, they're not the same player. They should not be used in an argument against one another.
Agreed, and there's a couple other things about what he said, and then we'll go to the phones. I know people are lining up left and right, but the idea of a force multiplier, that always leaves me a little bit hollow, because you could look at Patrick Mahomes. Is he a force multiplier, meaning he takes whatever he has and he makes them better? I'll give you that.
I think so.
Josh Allen would be the same. Yep. You know, he's had a lot of turnover in his skill positions. Beyond that, I wouldn't call Joe Burrow a force multiplier. He's got the number one overall fantasy pick, and he's got another unbelievable receiver, and not to even mention Yoshi Vash, and he's got a coach and a great scheme. He's had a great running game, and they went 9-8.
Yep.
So the whole idea of force multiplier is one point, and the other one, the thing that he led off with there, and I'm trying to get his voice down. I need a little bit more time. There's something there. It's part like squawking waterfowl and part like Squidward, which I know many people have said he looks like. He kind of has that nasally sound as well.
A little bit.
But the other thing about a six-year, I don't think he said indictment, but a six-year case study on how you see football. And that really is interesting because I don't see football through the lens of the quarterback tiers. It's an interesting piece, sure. And I like what Mike Sando does, but you can be the 14th best quarterback, Brock Purdy, and go to a Super Bowl. You could be the, Joe's tied for one?
Mm-hmm.
You could be tied for first and go 9-8 because football is football.
Right, because your defense matters, your offensive line matters, your everything matters. Devon, who's in an Uber. What's up, Devon? Thank you for calling.
Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
What's up? Appreciate your call.
Hey, yeah. So I think that a lot of what Nick said, although maybe he didn't deliver it in the best way, I think a lot of what he said is valid if you're able to see and hear all the voices that spoke on Brock, right? I do recall hearing Brock from not only from fans but from outlets, media outlets, that he's a top five QB, that he's this, this, and that, and they're praising him, and you know they're like he's the reason the Niners are good, not necessarily the Niners are good. It's like he's the reason, and I think that a lot of people that aren't biased for Brock, or I'm sorry, that are biased against him or just neutral, do want to see. You know, I'm somebody that's neutral. I would like to see if he can kind of lead his team when he doesn't have the shiniest objects, the golden pieces, you know, like because I think that's what separates some of the elite quarterbacks, you know, in the history of the game. You know, Tom didn't have the prettiest weapons all the time, you know, but what he threw with it, he didn't have the shiniest defenders, but some of them stepped up. So hopefully the Niners can step up, you know, and help him out, because it does take a team as a former player. But I think Brock, it's like there's a safety net around him. That's what I don't like.
Hey, Devon, can I ask you? So I don't want to interrupt, but can I ask you a question? What's the motivation behind wanting to see Brock shine with bad stuff happening around him? And I don't want to speak for you, if you're a 49er fan, wouldn't you just rather the 49ers have a good year?
So I think on a level, to answer your question, I'm not a Niner fan,
okay,
but I don't care who's a...
dang it.
When we got KC...
There you are. Okay, we lost you for a second, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead. Reboot.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was saying, so I'm a Warrior fan, right?
Okay.
When we got KD, I didn't care that we had the best talent. I wanted to win. You know, I didn't care, you know, and when we suck, or let me not say suck, like when we're not...
You're good.
Talented, you know, we just want to win. So I get that aspect. But I guess from a fan standpoint, for legacy purposes, and I know some people hate that word, we want to see, okay, we know you're a good, we know you're happy and joyful when you have the money. Are you happy and joyful when you're broke? You know, are you that kind of player, or are you just that? And if this is all you are, that's fine. You know, I think he's a good quarterback. I wouldn't say elite, but I think he's really good. Like, and the beauty of it, what I don't like, you know, for the people that are super biased before I go, it's like give him – they're trying to, like, cap his ceiling already. That's what I don't like. He's barely been in the league. Give him a chance and allow his story to continue. So, I do agree with a lot of what Nick's saying, but I think that, I think it's people are unfair on both sides.
That's probably true on almost any argument. Devon, yeah. Thanks.
I don't hear what Nick was saying people are saying, and you and I do this 20 hours a week, and we all have friends who are fans, and we talk this stuff out all day, every day. I don't hear that top five chatter.
Neither do I.
I hear people say he's great, and I do think that he is great. Last year wasn't so much, but that's the part of it where, you know, it's like the dog that comes over, and you're just sitting there, and he, like, pokes you with his nose, and then you turn over, and then it's like, I didn't do anything. I mean, you want to play, obviously, and so you're going to pick a fight with me? That's what this is.
Well, and I'm a Niner fan, so I have no interest in trying to prove anything to everyone. That's the piece of this debate that I really don't necessarily enjoy. Like, are we really heading to the television set every weekend trying to prove someone else wrong? Or are we trying to see the 49ers win a football game? I don't need Brock to be Super Bowl MVP. I would like the 49ers to win a Super Bowl. I would like him to be the quarterback because that means things are going well for the 49ers quarterback, and I don't like it when my favorite team is on the search for a quarterback. But I don't need superstar numbers. I don't need any of this stuff. I'm not watching the game with the hopes that I can come in here Monday morning and prove somebody in Pinole wrong. I'm just trying to see the Niners win. So therefore, I do not want this thing that everyone keeps asking for, which is I want to see Brock be a dog when everything around him is wrong. I don't want everything around him to be wrong.
Right.
Not
everything was around him wrong last year, but a lot. You know, you had a special teams coordinator who lost his job, a defensive coordinator who lost his job, a defense that was porous, multiple guys with family tragedy, a gunshot victim, an injury. So many things were wrong, and you could look at that and say, well, see, Brock Purdy couldn't do it. He couldn't do it when everything went bad around him. And then you look at actually how his year was. His year was, it was fine, to use Nick Wright's word. His year last year was fine. And so, like you said earlier, you can't judge him at his best or at his worst. And so that's why I think this year is so interesting. It's not going to be like it was 2 years ago. They don't have that roster. Your coordinator should be better. Your schedule should be a touch lighter. And so let's go, Brock. Let's see what you can do this year now that you got that money.
I'm glad that you brought up, actually, that Christmas Day game two seasons ago where he was so bad against the Baltimore Ravens. Because, yes, going into that game, I'd argue that that was, quote, his best moment. And you're right that I don't want to judge him based on that either. He went into that game basically in the race to win NFL MVP.
Wow.
Okay? That's a year and a half ago and change. NFL MVP. And he absolutely had a terrible performance. And the Niners had a terrible performance. And they basically didn't even get us a second half to watch when we were all filled up with ham. So, like, that was a huge bummer. But as you pointed out, then he ended up in the Super Bowl. But I don't want...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Like, that's not my bar. I'm not, the bar is NFL MVP. Similarly, the bottom bar is not going to be, I'm going to hang around you that in your last 15 games, you're 6-9 when your run defense was 29th in the NFL. All of your receivers were hurt, and McCaffrey is hurt, and you had special teams mishaps that were blowing games early in the season. All of these things that happened, those are true too. Like, come on, get off of the high and get off of the low and get to the middle, where, as you just pointed out, if this is your disgusting performance last year, if your disgusting performance is 3,900 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, and a QB rating of 96.1. If that's your gross...
Wait, 96.1.
96.1.
Unacceptable.
If that is what... Oh, you're 16th in the league. You're barely hanging on to tier two. If that's your low, what are you talking about?
Well, if that is your low, then yeah, sign him for 5 more years. If a QB rating of 96.1 is his low point, then the contract they just signed is going to be a bargain by the time you get to that final year, because that's a good quarterback rating, not elite. And I know some of the advanced metrics like EPA, which is estimated points added. Every play is graded on how much better it would have been than the league average. I think he was top 3 in EPA among quarterbacks, even though he didn't have the eye-popping number. So even the advanced metrics would tell you that Brock Purdy wasn't terrible last year.
No, not terrible. And I mean, you know, like, again, I don't think this is necessarily the end-all be-all at all. But if people do want to, because numbers are numbers, if you want to play with that number that just came up, then yes, Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes, Bo Nix, Aaron Rodgers, and others, Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, they were all below that number last year. They were all below that number. just last year.
Quarterback rating.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mahomes and Stafford, two of the QB tier one guys, had a worse rating than Purdy in what is apparently Purdy's worst year and now defining moment, I guess.
Sure. And if you look at the guys who were above him, playing off of what Nick Wright was saying, you had Lamar Jackson, a great quarterback in a great system.
Yep.
Goff's offensive coordinator got a head coaching job because he was so good. Burrow, we've already talked about. Zach Taylor's a great offensive mind. Baker Mayfield in Tampa has an unbelievable group of skill set guys, yet we don't hold that against Baker, do we?
No.
The fact that he's got Mike Evans, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Chris Godwin's a top 25 receiver in the league. Tampa Bay's got, your crush at running back, Bucky Irving.
Love him.
Yeah, but we don't look at Tampa and say, well, I mean, of course, Baker. How could you not? Baker plays against the NFC South. Baker's got a 1,000-catch guy, another amazing guy, talent up the wahoo,
yep.
But we put that on Brock Purdy because Brock Purdy was drafted last.
The list of QBs that played 15 or more games last year that had a better QB rating than Brock Purdy is Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson.
Find the bad.
That's your list.
Find me the bad coach. Find me the bad system.
None. Find me the bad QB. None. There aren't any. Malachi in Livermore. Hi, Malachi. Appreciate your call. What's up?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
You got you.
Hey, awesome. Cool. Yeah, so I agree with you. I'm from the Bay. I'm a San Francisco homer. I don't think Brock is in an elite status at all. But I'm kind of tired of this argument about him last year not taking the team when they went 6-11. When he took them into the fourth quarter, he gave the Niners a lead, and the defense blew it. They easily could have been 9-8, and this would be a different conversation. That's all I got to say about Brock, guys. I'll just listen to the answer off the air. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Malachi, thanks. And again, I'm going to circle back there to what we sort of said right at the start of this conversation, which I think so much of this comes from people wanting to grab arguments by putting words into others' mouths that no one's saying. So if the entire point of this debate from Colin and Nick is that people who think that Brock Purdy is a top five QB are nuts, you're right. They are. I don't know that they exist, but if you want to like make a cartoon and find those people, then great. Have a blast.
I'm being told his lovely bride, mother of their child, has him at 6. So there you go. I got sources.
Probably true.
Thank you.